out atheist.
You may change your mind and join me and become a dope fiend believing in God. I'll tell you one thing. This don't hinder my performance. I still work well on the job. I still can think over the family matters with no problem. See, it ain't like the dope the world offers you. This is a dope that makes you function better. Woo! Lord. I'm going to hurry up and get through. I need another thing. That's one way of looking at the promise of Allah, the promise of the hereafter. That no matter what happens to me in this world, if I carry out my duty, if I work hard to please my Lord, I may make mistakes too. Allah didn't say, oh, you won't get it if you make a mistake now. No, he said you can make mistakes over and over again. You can make so many mistakes until your mistakes pile up as big as the earth. He said, I have the capacity to forgive all of it. All Allah wants from us is that we don't give up. Don't give up the sin. You may sin, but don't give up the sin. So that's one way of looking at it. That's the first way of looking at it. But there's another way of looking at it. Allah wants us to be a people concerned for the future. A belief in Allah's promise that's not here now. It's coming down the line, down the road somewhere. That's a belief in the future. And there's a practical way also to look at belief in the future. When I work not to pay my bills this month, but to get myself in a situation where I can feel that my bills will be paid for this year. And if I can improve my outlook on the future and my commitment to improve the future for myself, one of these days I hope to look for my whole lifetime and say, I got this covered for my lifetime, and also my children will have a good situation. They will take up behind me where I'm leaving off, and they will have their bills paid too. Oh, I think you're mixing that up. Well, let's see what the prophet has to say. Peace and blessings be upon him. The prophet says, live in this world as though you're going to die or live forever, and live in this world as though you're going to die today. What is that telling us? That's telling us, don't become attached to the things of the world. Be prepared to die today and leave it all. But don't be foolish and neglect your share of this world. Work as though you're going to be here always. Because even though you're not going to be here always, if you work as though you're going to be here always, you will leave things better for your children and for other people who will live behind you. Now, if that's not a good belief, if that's not a good belief, I don't want to think about belief anymore. I'll just forget about belief and think about something else. So we have to live with a view on the future. We have to keep future in view. It is better for us to keep future in view than to keep today in view. That's what Allah is teaching us. It is better for us to keep the future in view than to keep today in view. Now we know we have to look at today too. We have to look at today to see what demands are on today by the future. The future makes demands on today. But we don't know what the future is asking of us if we don't see ourselves and our situation today. So God says, وَبْتَغِي فِي مَا تَاكَ اللَّهُ دَارُ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Seek the board, the future board, that Allah has for you, but do not forget your share of the present world. That's the balanced religion. That's the balanced religion. That's the religion that fires up the energies of man to live a whole life. To not just live on the spiritual side, but to have a balanced life, a balanced growth. Now we know, again, I repeat, we know that the future ends are the best in terms of quality and also in terms of quantity. But God says to us, do not neglect today. The prophet says, live as though you're going to live forever, and live as though you might die today. Huh? That's the balanced religion. And Allah says in the Holy Book that this is the wusta, the midway community. Ummatul wusta. It is the midway community. By midway, it means that it does not go to spiritual extremes, and it does not verge off from God's path into material extremes. It is the midway. Now, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't devote ourselves to occupations that are considered material. To banking. To industry. Certainly, you could make 40 hours, do that full time. Nothing wrong with that. But watch over the content of your Muslim life. Don't allow your involvement there to take you off center and make you become, in your concern, blind to the balanced life. Don't let it make you a materialist, a materialistic person. You can work full time in the field of materialism. That doesn't mean you're going to come out a materialistic person. That's why we have to have people working in all fields. And the Quran is what will keep us protected, the word of Allah. And the Sunnah of the Prophet. So don't leave yourself alone with the word of Allah. You float right into the twilight zone. And all kind of crazy things come out of that zone. Allah Most High says, أَلَمْ تَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَأَصْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنَةً. Do you not see, O men, speaking to all of us, do you not see that Allah has brought down into your service for you to manage and get utility out of it? What is in the sky and what is in the earth? And that He has increased His favors on you. His favors that are both seen and unseen. Dear beloved Muslims, this is plain. Clear. I will make comments, but if you alert-minded, I don't have to interpret this. I don't need no interpretation. What comes out of the sky for us? Water? Sunlight? Sun energy? To grow our crops? And for many other purposes? Nitrates? And other things of value come down to the sky from us. Even stars fall, and some of them don't burn out. And they bring us a message of what's up there that we did not know. Say, hey, well, this is material just like our own earth. Here is a rock. There's other worlds up there. There are other worlds up there. Huh? So many things come from out of the sky. Lightning. And what did that curious fellow do? He sent his kite up to get some utility from the lightning. Huh? And the result is we have now electricity, huh? Huh? So what Allah sent from the sky? He sent us electricity from the sky. Do you agree to that, students? I know we have some students here, general science, Clare Muhammad School, Morehouse. Huh? So tell them, students, am I giving that straight? All right. So Allah said, do not you see that he has made a service to you? He has made subservient. He has made it to be in your management. That's what subservient means. Subservient means he's put it into your management. You couldn't get it into your management without him. He created it. And not only did he create it, he created your mind to perceive it. He created also signals to help your mind. Huh? He created it, then he created your mind to perceive it. He ordered your mind to perceive it, and he also created signals in it to help your mind. Without his signals, you couldn't have got it. Do not you see that he has made subservient for you what is in the sky and what is in the earth? And have made it to give you abundance. Rewards both seen and unseen. Now the electricity was always out there, but we didn't see it, did we? But when that fire was jotting about in this funny kind of motion, it finally got somebody's attention enough to work with it and try to see what's happening there. How come that fire goes dashing through the sky in those jerky motions? And then at a great speed, just suddenly changes direction. You know, that's something, isn't it? At mighty speed. Then change it quickly. You'll be running out that way forever. Go that way. Well, that's enough to get a curious man's attention. Now, it didn't have to be a white man. It could have been a black man. But your circumstances wouldn't allow you to think about the lightning. There was too much lightning striking on your behind. I hope you all miss me as much as I miss you. I just love to be among the Muslims. Yeah, this is my home. But you know, at a time when the person who's been at home with the family has to move out. And it hurts the person to leave if he's a family man. It hurts him to leave. But if there's a calling out there that warrants him leaving, and he's a conscientious person, he has to go. Now, what I'm referring to here now is not my leaving the African-American Muslim community, and you are the African-American Muslim community. Don't let nobody tell you anybody else. There may be other small groups of African-American Muslims, but you are the African-American Muslim community. Praise be to Allah. And may he forgive the Honorable Elijah Muhammad all of his sins, because we want him in paradise. Because he's so beloved and so dear to us. We believe his intentions were pure. And the misconceptions that he was left with about our religion, we think Allah will forgive him for those misconceptions. In light of what he did, his sincerity, and in the light of his last minute support of me, a son that had already differed theologically with him, I think he have earned admission into the paradise. I know one thing, he have earned the respect of the poor, thriving African-American man. And any of us that don't respect him, we are out of our senses. And I know people call me the hypocrite. I was on a radio program, and this so-called follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, he's a hypocrite. He wasn't even a Muslim, and he was with his father. And he said some terrible, outrageous thing. And I replied, I can't understand him. He either have a terribly warped mind or a terribly corrupt heart. I couldn't understand him. But I know some will say, and it's a good question. Say, well, if your father has that place in your heart, how come you didn't tell us that when you started out in 1975? You would have went to grave with my father. I had to first help you to get yourself attached to this religion that will sustain us. Accomplish that first. He was pulling you out of the fires of America's hellish situation that they created for us. And I had to pull you out of the fire of your passion for Elijah Muhammad to get you on the path of Islam. Now do as much for me when I die as I'm asking you to do for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Give me justice too. So Allah is saying to us that he has made his creation to yield utility for us. This is my religion. This is no voice coming out of secular world. This is Allah's voice speaking to me in the religious world, in the Muslim life, telling me that he made what is in the sky and what is in the earth to yield into my management utility. Now, if we are not challenging a good competition for the Western scientific world, it's because we've been sleeping and haven't been awake to what Allah says to us in his book. And when you see this for yourself, you're going to enter into big competition with not only the American white man, with the Russian white man, with the African black man, with everybody that's trying to do something to go forward. You're going to be a competition. And that's what we want. That's why when we invited you, we invited all colors. Because if any color sit here and listen to what I'm saying, he know that this ain't no black prescription. This ain't no white prescription. This is no Chinese medicine. This is something for everybody. And it's as accessible to one race as it is another. Ain't no conditions here that you have to go back to Africa and then come to this religion. He has made this utility for us. Some of it is seen, some of it is apparent. Some of it is seen with our eyes, and some of it is not apparent. It is hidden. So there is a material reality, and also its hidden reality, its utility. Huh? We have to study it and find access to its utility. Allah has given us signs. He will help us along the way if we will only believe. There are men with so much money, with so much wealth, with so much security in the material world that you depend on them. You seek your protection at their feet. You seek your livelihood at their feet. You depend on them guaranteeing you and your children a future life. And you don't know they were men of trust. They had to trust something. They trust the person that passed on to them that outlook on life. They had to trust something. They trust the field of work that they're in. They trust the promise that field presents. If they didn't have trust and faith, they wouldn't have gotten what they got. We, the limited faith, think of faith as something just for religious people. No, faith is not only for religious people. Ain't nobody out there doing anything without faith. You have to have faith. So we know now, Allah says He has created worlds that you know, and worlds that you know not. That message came from Allah by way of the angel Jibreel to our human prophet Muhammad, the most excellent man. Yes, the most excellent man. Muhammad Rasulullah, the most excellent man. The perfect man. The complete man. Me at my best. Now, who wouldn't follow himself at his best? I'm happy to follow myself at its best. And that was demonstrated in Muhammad, the prophet to whom the Quran was revealed. So he has created worlds that we see and worlds that we did not see. Since that time, man has found the world of microorganisms. Back there, we had no knowledge. There was nothing on the record, nothing written, nothing said about the world of microorganisms. But Allah has said, before man found the world of microorganisms, that there are worlds that you can see and worlds that you see not. So they went and they started looking in the environment to see if they could find some help from the Creator in reaching with their eyes the world that Allah says, you see not. So they found the glass that could enlarge an image. And they improved the glass and improved the glass until finally they got telescopes and microscopes. And now we have visible proof of the world that we could not see. When Allah said, there are worlds that you see and you see not. Now that Lord has also said to us in Quran, the Lord before Jesus Christ was Lord. That's our Lord. That Lord has said to us that He has made utility for us. And that utility is seen and it's not seen. We shouldn't stop because man has found some of what Allah told him was around here. We should still be students with scientific curiosity. And don't let the white man lead this interest. Why should the Western man, the white man, lead this interest? It's time for the African American to come in this interest, not as a follower, as a leader. And it is the Quran that will excite your imagination. It is the Quran that will give you the courage and the belief, the faith, to go into that field and say, white man, it ain't nothing but a matter of time before I'm going to lead in the field of science. You're intimidated because you live in the white man's world. His world intimidates you because he got ahead of you and he built his world and made it fascinating. He made it to strike awe in you. He made it to stun your spirit and just drop as a rag your whole mental energy. Because you didn't do this. And that you had to have him take you by the hand and show you into his world. And now you're working behind him and beside him, and you don't think you can work without him. But Allah, with what he has provided, makes a new mind, a new man, a new spirit. A spirit for doing not only what the white man has done, but a spirit to do more. Woo! Hold me here, Lord, just for a little while longer. See, now we have now our attention on a powerful energizer. And don't think it will not materialize. I'm going to walk away from here and I may see you next month, may in the spring, in the summer. May not see you no more than next year this time. But when I come back, I'm going to find that energy growing into visual form. Oh, yes. When I told you about 10 years ago that our future as business people is not in centralization, it's not in one headquarters controlling everything that's happening in business all over the United States. It's not in captains and lieutenants managing from Chicago what is happening all over the United States. I told you that our future in business is seeing the white man not as our master, but as nothing but another man, and getting out here competing with him. Hey, it's come a time when you have to stop seeing the white man as your slave master. We were taught the white man was our slave master. Well, he ain't supposed to stay our slave master. And I told you the way to go is to decentralize. All of you work like hell, work like beavers, work like ants in your respective places. And the work will be scattered out so much the CIA and the FBI and the police department will have to spend too many tax dollars to watch what you're doing. Now that was almost 10 years ago. And you've seen the energy materialize. It has materialized in the form of small businesses and big businesses now by the Muslims in Atlanta. Not only Atlanta, Dallas, Texas. Even Chicago. There's a group of brothers there called Doc Fish. And they have about 5 or 6 fast food fish places there that compete, not only compete. Long John Silver's tried to put that place across the street from one of Doc Fish places. It's about to dry up. It's been there for 2 years or more. It cannot get Doc Fish off of 87th Street. You know how come? Lieutenant Roger Reggie, Chabars ain't bothering it. When people are left free to produce for themselves with their own resources, you're going to have the best situation.
See, well, that belief sounds like the free enterprise system. Oh, the white man got it from the Quran. That's where he got it from. He got it from the Quran. Show me a book that has more support for the free or religious book. Show me a religious book that has more support for the free enterprise system than the Holy Quran. Produce it. Produce it. Whether female or male, give to them what they earn. Give to them the measure of their earnings. Huh? Right now, that's an advanced idea here. Women should get equal pay for equal work. Oh, shoot, all I had to do was read the Quran 1,400 years ago. Allah says in the Quran, don't control commerce, but leave it free so that the traffic of money and business will not be tied up into the hands of a few. That's the Quran. And I can go on and on. I didn't come here to teach you Quranic economics. Not today. Now, the idea in growth without restriction. That's in the Quran also. See, Americans, a kind of economy, has also this principle that growth shouldn't be restricted unless it becomes an evil, such as some monopolies became, right? But growth shouldn't be restricted. So, just like some of you all want me to have a paycheck, or check to pay me, or check, or pay to check me. And I refuse to let the white man check me. You know I ain't gonna accept that no newly born black Muslim check me. He ain't got his diaper off yet. Is he gonna check me or give me a pay to check me? No! You're wasting your time. You're in for a great disappointment. And I'm trying to soften the blow to you today. But it'd be hard when you already got everything set and spent a whole lot of energy on giving me that pay to check me, and then you find out that it ain't working. Oh, brother and ma'am, we're going to see that you have $100,000 a year to work with. You're going to see that I have that with what? Oh, with your publications. I'm going to see that you have what you deserve to work with. And I'm going to get justice for my output. And I'm going to get control of my resources. Because I see myself as more trustworthy than you. That's right. Shouldn't we put the best forward? Shouldn't we trust our precious things with the most trustworthy ones? So I don't want no crooks competing with me for my resources. You don't have any rights to them. What I give you is charity. And the holy man, he shouldn't talk like that. The holy man should say, I'm going to help you realize more from your resources. Well, we got to wake up. We got to wake up and do a little better. Allah has given us resources, both visible, seen, and unseen. Let us not see all of this great wisdom for our growth on this earth and then go back into the same old, non-productive mind and way of behaving. When we see these things, they should make us change for the better. As a student in class, I would listen to my teacher, and when I got an indication of where I should be going to be more successful as a student, I didn't pass that by. I didn't pass that over. I dwelled upon it. I left the class with it on my mind. I carried it with me wherever I was going. And I kept it with me until I could realize the benefits from it. And if you are successful as a listener here today, you will do the same. Don't be full of play and foolishness. That retards your senses. Yes. It's good to be in touch with nature. Before I knew that what Prophet Muhammad said about dogs, that they should be kept out of the house, I had a dog that couldn't be kept in the house. So if he was nice enough, I would have had him in the house, because I love the dog, you know. But he just couldn't be disciplined for the house. So thank Allah he couldn't, because it kept me from being guilty. Well, I wouldn't have been guilty because I would have done it in ignorance. But it even kept me from doing it in ignorance, from having a dog in the house. So we had to keep him in outside. We built him a nice little house and everything, turned the door away from most of the wind and put it so the fence could help keep the wind off of him, and then made it so comfortable in there, put some rug in there we took out of the house, and blankets and pillows and stuff. We made him a nice little place out there. And then I decided to get cats. Cats are different. So we started having cats. And I noticed the behavior of cats. Not only that, I noticed the behavior of dogs too. Good behavior. They have many fine points. Many fine attributes. Although they are nothing but what we call low animals. We call them low animals. But the lowest animal is a human being that's being an animal instead of a human being. That's the lowest animal. Now, that's one you can't even keep in the yard. Well, I started having cats. And I noticed the social discipline, the social excellence of the cats. They want the best. I had a nice carpet on the floor, and wife asked me to buy it. Okay. Yeah, you know our situation. We ain't like the white man. The white man say, what color you want, darling? Now, not all white people, but a lot of them catching more hell than some of us now. Things have changed for them, too. In fact, they never were all in rich or in comfort. Always was some poor whites, you know that, don't you? Always were some poor whites, or whatever it is. Yeah. So, we then got a small throw rug that was more of better quality than the carpet. And we put that on the carpet, and that cat chose to rest on the throw rug.
Later on, she bought a fine pillow, big, nice, fine pillow, and put that on the floor, and it was a little better quality than even the throw rug. We came in there and found that cat up on top of that pillow. And I thought the cat was reaching me somehow by mental telepathy and was trying to tell me, look, whatever you want for yourself, I'm going to claim it for me. Now, I finally made him stay out of the house during the good weather and let him in only during the bad weather. See, I had to teach him the difference between cat provision and human provision. But I admired him. I still admire that cat. That cat, he got a high place in my mind. High place in my estimation. He's something else. And then I noticed that the mother cat, she would let the young ones eat, and she sit back, and they eat everything up of her. And she'd go hungry and hope that she'd get a chance next time. Then I noticed the male cat, he would watch the female and wait till she got through eating. And then he'd eat. And sometimes she would eat and wouldn't leave nothing. Then I noticed the mother cat letting the big old son cat, bigger than her, I felt like taking a broom and just beating him up bad. She let that big old sucker just eat up all that good food I put down there for her and him. And she said, well, that's my son. So I had to come in into the cat family and help them establish justice. So I didn't say meow, I just took the broom handle and hit that boy cat. Get out of here. Let your mama eat. Now this brings us to another concern. Time is flying here. I didn't know the time was passing like that. We'd be away in a few minutes, and about a half an hour, inshallah, we'd be gone. Another concern. And that concern is really a concern that has occupied the energies of many, many African Americans over these centuries we've been in this part of the world. Self-awareness. That should be our first awareness. You know, when a baby comes here from its mother, it's aware of itself before it's aware of its mother. Right away, it is aware that it needs protection, and soon it's aware that it needs somebody or something to give it food and etc. So it's aware of itself first. Then it meets the mother and becomes aware of mama, and later on, its awareness grows and grows and grows. So when people are lost, it's natural for them to want to know themselves.